Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Workforce Central Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by the National Association of Workforce Boards in Washington, D.C. I am privileged, again, to be your host. I'm Ron Painter, and we've got a great conversation today because, as some of you who tune into Workforce Central know, sometimes we can talk about policy issues. Today we're really going to talk about where the rubber, as they say, hits the road. We're going to be talking to some folks who are really down on the ground, working in this system, and have some really great observations on what we're going to experience with the Innovation and Opportunity Act. It's a delight to have one of our gold level sponsors with us, KRA. And joining me today is Don Scott, their VP for Workforce Operations, and Felicia Florney, Director of Workforce Innovation for KRA. Don, Felicia, welcome.
Yes, good morning, or good afternoon, I should say.
it is probably morning for you, Felicia, on the West Coast as we as we tune in. Don, welcome. Where are we finding you?
Good morning. Good afternoon, rather, because I am on the East Coast. I'm in the nice and balmy Hartford, Connecticut office today and looking out where the snow on the ground is still not melting.
Holy cow. Well, welcome
for more tomorrow.
But yeah, they're talking about snow here in D.C. tomorrow, but... let me give you some background. Felicia is the Director of Workforce Innovation for KRA, as I mentioned. She is an award-winning workforce development specialist with more than 20 years' experience in the industry. She has proactively served in leadership roles for the advancement of numerous national, state, and local workforce services initiatives. It was a great help to me, is still a great help to me, when she was the Executive Director of the Riverside County Workforce Investment Board, which earned High Performance Board designation for its integrated service delivery model. And we're going to talk a lot about that service delivery integration. So Felicia, again, welcome.
Thank you.
Don is the senior,
it's a pleasure to be
welcome.
Here.
Don is the Senior Vice President of Workforce Operations for KRA. An inspirational and innovative leader focusing on improving the quality of workforce delivery systems, helping business meet their talent needs, and helping people get good jobs. Don has been with KRA for over 10 years, and he has been the chair of the National Association of Workforce Development Professionals, our co-tenant here in our new offices in D.C. He has also served as a member of the Executive Committee of the California Workforce Association, as well as several local boards focusing on workforce in his home state of Virginia. Don has an undergraduate degree from Texas A&M, the Aggies, right?
That's right.
And a Juris Doctorate from LSU Law School. So got some expertise on the show today, which really helps because I'm also here. So it's good to have people who know what they're doing. We're going to be talking about what I call I&O, the Innovation and Opportunity Act, and how that, what are some of the concepts that are going to really be critical in that. And I want to kick off and Don, ask you, everybody's like trying to get ready. What are you guys at KRA? How do you see the I&O, and what are you doing to get ready for that implementation?
Thank you, Ron. Thank you for this opportunity, and I want to thank the National Association of Workforce Boards for this opportunity. KRA, we're on the fast track to implementing this new legislation. We're working closely with the clients that we work with and other areas to make sure that we implement the strategies to move forward the necessary changes. Obviously, for us being a provider on the ground, integrated service delivery is the main thing that we're focusing on right now. We are a continuous quality improvement organization It's great that the Innovations and Opportunity Act is focused on continuous quality improvement, because it basically validates what we think we've been doing and moving towards all of this time. It's a validation and affirmation of the things that, as an organization, that we already believe in. I think we have a very good foundation in managing and moving forward with integrated service delivery. And we're looking and evaluating our model, our strategy, so we can really take this thing to the next level. Most importantly, you know, we got people like Felicia on board. She's an expert in integrated service delivery. When she was still running the Riverside County Workforce Investment Board, I was a freaking visitor. Every time I went to L.A., I used to come out and so see it, because they were doing it on the ground. They were using some of the concepts and some of the ideas in this legislation to put it in. They were doing it already. I used to steal her stuff all the time. I used to tell her that and bring it out to other places. And what's dropped, you know, one of the main things that we need to stay focused on is not just following, just looking at the law and the reg that they come out, but really looking at what the intent of the law is. We want to really look at what the core areas that they want, and where they want to make adjustments and where they want to improve it. And those are the things that we're doing well with now, and want to continue to make plans and implement those best practices around the country. So we're not beneath going, seeing other good ideas, taking them and bringing them back, especially as it relates to what we are moving forward. Because I think on the ground, it's not about just seeing it in the rules. You got to execute on the ground, and that's what we're focused on, Ron.
Yeah, absolutely, Don. That's a great, great point. I think we've been talking about that here as we get ready for Forum 2015 is trying to get people to both think about implementation, but also have the patience to go back and look at the intent of the legislation and make certain that we are, you know, there's integrity to our approach as we get ready. Felicia, I'm going to make you I know we want to talk about integrated service delivery, but I'm going to make you hang on to that conversation for a moment, because I want you to brag for half a second. Riverside, your operation in Riverside wasn't just one of the best in our industry. You had some comparison across organizations in California. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. We did have some comparisons across organizations in California, and it was our integrated service delivery model that was so effective that it became the model for the state of California, and unbeknownst to me, the model across the country. As Don had pointed out, we had numerous visitors come from different areas to see not only what we were doing inside of our one-stop system, but also what we were doing to serve our young people, because we had separate one-stop systems for our young people. In addition to that, we implemented Malcolm Baldrige's continuous quality improvement principles, and we were on a 7-year journey. And it was my goal when I stepped into the role of being the WIB director to receive a Malcolm Baldrige Award from the California State Performance Excellence Board. And we were very successful in doing that. In addition to the California WIB, we got designated as a high-performance board. So the outcomes of being a continuous quality improvement organization are definitely advantageous for, I think, our system to be focused on now in taking that journey and being really committed to it.
That is that's awesome. And I know for people who are listening, I think that's a really, really critical. This isn't, as I mentioned at the outset, it's not just a conversation about what's happening with I&O. We have you on the phone who lived what an organization looks like and what it feels like and how it operates when you're on that continuous journey. So awesome. And again, congratulations. We've talked about that.
Thank you.
Felicia, tell me, like, how did you approach integrated service delivery? What did that mean to you?
Well, what it really means is that every single partner within a Career One-Stop Center, and even outside of the Career One-Stop Center, but more importantly in the Career One-Stop Center, are coming together in a very collaborative way, creating a common vision and a common purpose to have the greatest impact on the job seekers that are coming through our doors and the businesses that we are providing services to, and to create the ultimate customer experience. And it makes you focus on really truly your customer and not your individual organizations and what you need to do to meet your own rules and regulations. You got to put that aside. And so it really is about being customer focused and ensuring that that customer gets their needs met in the most efficient and effective way. And I often would visit other places who claimed to be integrated, but they were very nicely co-located. They sat amongst each other. They talked to each other. But it wasn't integration. Anytime a customer would walk through the door, and you have to send them to multiple folks to talk to about a service that they need, you aren't integrated. Anyone in that center should be able to provide that service for them. And it's really about a coordinated effort. I always like to make the analogy of coming to a potluck. When you come to a potluck, you put your dish on the table, and everyone partakes from everything that's on the table. Well, you can't stand in the corner with your dish. So
that depends on how good of a cook you are. You know,
well, that's true.
I'm thinking some people might want me.
But even as good as you are,
you still got to put
it on the table. To me, really the definition of integrated service delivery is creating a seamless delivery of services so that when every customer walks in that center, they are able to get their needs fulfilled. And it is obvious that they should not be able to tell who's who.
Okay, when you follow that model, though, well, what does that look like what's that look like at the one stop level in the career service center in the one stop? What's that look like? What does it impact?
Well, what it looks like is, let's talk about the customer flow. There's a common intake, there's common orientations, there's one orientation, not multiple orientations. The information that is provided to that customer is a holistic one brochure, here's all the services that you have, or however you communicate that to a customer. Again, going back to the intake process, it's one intake process, not multiple applications. It's about particularly Wagner-Peiser and WIOA now, folks being able to do the same services, being able to do eligibility for each other. It doesn't matter who a person sees. So we were fully integrated in a team-based approach where Wagner-Peiser and WIA at the time were on the customer service team. And no matter who you saw, whether they were Wagner-Peiser or whether they were WIA, those staff could do everything from A to Z to get that person enrolled and get them on their way. We shared workshops. We did joint workshops. We had a group of workshops that we offered in the center. staff that were very capable of delivering those workshops delivered them. Didn't matter who was in the room. Didn't matter which side of the house was giving those workshops. And then we infused the other partners into the process so that if Job Corps, if we saw someone that came in that needed Job Corps services, we would do all the intake up front, and then they would see a Job Corps person. So that's kind of the example. It's got to just be totally seamless service delivery.
Okay, I'm going to ask you two quick follow-ups to that, but let me step out a second and remind folks, you are listening to Workforce Central Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by the National Association of Workforce Boards. I'm Ron Painter, and Felicia Florney and Don Scott, and I know I butchered the last name, Felicia. I never get
Flournoy.
That right. I apologize.
Flournoy.
Are from KRA are with me today. We're talking about what's approaching us in the Innovation and Opportunity Act and KRA getting ready for it. Felicia, let me two quick follow-ups on what you just talked about, the integrated model at the service center. So this is also not just about it looks spiffy for the customer, right? And it looks easy for the customer. what I hear you saying has implications for how do we think about staff training, right? I mean, that is that also in an integrated model? Is that also everybody's in training?
Well, yes, yeah, staff training is definitely important. And we need to have the highest skilled, most competent staff that we can possibly have to be career coaches and to be able to help deliver information and get people through the processes that we have to get them through and help them to understand what services are offered as well as helping to connect them to those services. And it goes beyond just the technical side of the house of learning the rules and regulations and eligibility for programs. We have different regulations that happen, even though we're all under the same act, but there's different rules and processes and policies put in place. We have to understand all of that from a standpoint of the staff, and they have to be trained in that. So training was huge. And we had a whole staff development plan, a joint collaborative staff development plan of how we were going to get our staff up to speed. I would be remiss to say this about integration. It is a cultural change, and it's important that people understand that you are managing organizational system change. If you lose sight of that piece of it, in light of everything I've said about creating the customer flow, having a common purpose and vision, being able to train your staff so it's a cross-training so people understand everybody's roles and responsibilities and how to step in those shoes, it really is a cultural shift, and you have to understand how different organizational cultures can come together to make one unified culture and then one experience for the customer.
Really excellent point. I've been looking at some research around joint ventures. You know, what do seasoned CEOs, what have they learned about joint ventures? And culture comes up in those conversations over and over again is really critical. You've got to understand your culture. You've got to understand the others and really work at how do you take advantage of both of those. Dawn, well, I want to come back to you, but I want to make a connector because I want to ask Dawn how you guys connect to the board, but I wanted to ask Felicia. So, Felicia, we've been talking about the one-stop center. How does that impact what you as a director of the board, how did it change how you managed?
Well, first and foremost, I think whether you're a one-stop operator or you're at the board level, we cannot lose sight of the whole purpose of our being, and that is to impact the lives of people that come through our doors, to impact our business community, and ultimately to impact our economy. You can't lose sight of that with all the rules and regulations and processes and paper. You just can't. If you lose sight of that, then whether it's WIAA or WIOA, we're going to fail. So with that being said, I think the board's role and responsibility is to set the parameters, set the policy, help the centers have a common vision, and then allow the centers to be able to work amongst themselves within the guides and the policy to be able to drive innovation at the ground level. It's not going to work if boards try to figure it all out to the mute details of how the customer flow should happen, how we're going to get everybody in the same room, how we're going to cross-train. That needs to be left up to the career centers. The boards need to be strategic in their approach, design and provide guidance as far as policy is concerned, some design structure, and then get out of the way. Sometimes we shoot ourselves in the foot.
That's a pretty crazy notion. People who actually do the work might have some ideas about how best to do the work. You know, that's pretty out there.
And that's one of the things that I've learned being a WIB director and now being with KRA is that under this new legislation, if we are truly going to be successful, then workforce boards have to understand that the one-stop center operators, we're your partner. We have to be at the table in a partnership role and not in this role that sometimes I see, not not, I'm not saying this is across the country, but sometimes I see it as a role of boards go and they do the strategic plan and they set their policies and they even get down into the nitty-gritty of how things should happen in the center. Then they hand it off to the service provider and say, go have at it. Well, that's not going to work. If we're going to be truly innovative, if we're going to take this act and implement it to its fullest intent, then we got to sit at the table and be collaborative and be partners. Because at the end of the day, all that strategy that boards do has to turn into action. I have this analogy that the board may be the brain, but the centers are the heart of our system, and the two cannot function separately.
Dawn, you've been hanging out at KRA, you know, in following up on what Felicia was just talking about, how do you see this connection between not just KRA as a service provider or as an operator, but how do you see this relationship? What are some of the good points of a relationship between the operator and somebody like KRA? I mean, what have you learned? What's your observation? What works in that?
Well, the number one thing is, you know, it's kind of what Felicia said. The places that we've really been able to drive innovation have been the places where we've been viewed as a partner in delivering those services and been able to integrate our culture, respect. And I think culture is a big part of it. What kind of culture do you have? Do you have a high-performance, data-driven culture, or do you have a culture that's like, you know, get along, make sure all the paperwork's done, make sure we get the QA, quality assurance, make sure we get all the boxes checked culture? And I think those cultures that drive innovation, that take risks, that push the envelope, are the cultures that are really being innovative in this workspace. And, you know, when I was thinking about what Felicia was saying about the integrated model, one of the things that I liked about visiting Felicia Center all the time was that it felt like going in an Apple store almost. Everybody had on a blue T-shirt. You know, they all had the same T-shirt on. And when you walked in, all of them had a solution for you. They didn't tell you, go see that guy. Go see this guy. I was watching them. They were doing intakes on iPads. I stole that, by the way. They were doing intakes on iPads and, you know, treating people. They were raising the customer expectations when they walked in the door, and that's what we've done in all of our places. The places where our boards and board staff say, Don, raise the expectations for our customer experience. Raise the expectations for our employers and businesses. When they come in, we want to raise expectations. When those places have raised expectations, it's fun to come in every day. It's fun to think of new ways to provide services without getting caught up in the alphabet soup of all of these different funding streams. And one of the things I think is, you know, sometimes people get siloed in their funding stream. And what's great about as you call it, the Innovations and Opportunity Act, is that it's forcing us to get away from that alphabet soup of funding streams and really be seamless to all of our customers. And when I say all of them, I'm talking about especially our business community, because they're the ones that's going to make it happen for us. And we got to keep them engaged and invested in the system, because this is our last best chance to do that.
And I know, Dawn, you have to be excited about that, because it certainly wasn't the weather that you went to Riverside, California for. I mean, now I know people are like, Jamil Dada, Jamil, calm down. I'm just kidding. I always like to be in Southern California. It's beautiful. It's nice weather. But as an East Coaster, you know, I had to put a little jab in there, all that sunshine and warm weather. I don't know. It's something about our systems that we have a hard time sometimes. Dawn, let me follow up on that point. When you're looking at KRA's operations, I mean, do you get the sense that this notion of the customer, a sense of customer, that people, whether it's the individual or whether it's business, because of their experiences elsewhere, is that something that factors in when you guys are thinking about how do we design the flow? I mean, do you see a higher customer expectation than you did maybe when you started in this business?
Absolutely.
Because of places like Apple and...
Absolutely. Yeah, but the cultures, people's expectations there are, when they walk in, they're going to be given high customer service. They're going to be given the attention. They're going to get a great a response. They're not going to be ignored. And that's everybody. That's from a person who's a welfare to work recipient all the way up to a business owner. everybody's expectations are raised because of the envelope. The economy has changed. We're an information service economy, and people who go in and go into a place like Appleton, they come to our place and they see us. So wait in line, like the old DMV analogy, wait in line, pull a number and wait. They're not taking that anymore. So people will not stand for it anymore. And those folks who have not adjusted to the new reality of customer service and continuous quality improvement, they're going to be left behind. And I think especially the business customer, our employers have high expectations, and they'll drop us in a minute if we start meeting their expectations. And so that's what kind of makes it fun and exciting.
Because it's about solutions, right? Which comes back to your point, Felicia. It really takes everybody looking at the situation in order to figure out how can this work.
Yes, definitely. And you know, Ron, I just want to piggyback on what Don just said and just make a point when he said the old DMV model, and that's just not about process. It's about location, physical location. I am sometimes just embarrassed by what I see our system provides to our customers as far as physical location. We really need to understand that we are in the business of skill development and not social services. And even if you're in social services, I think our customers deserve a much better atmosphere to come into and to be able to get served. And I think that's something else that we need to be looking at across our system. And I had my consultant, her analogy when I was at Riverside, her analogy always was, or her point was always, would you send your mother there? So as board members and as career center operators, we have to ask the question, would we send our mama there? And if not, then why is that good enough for our customer? And if you think a business customer is going to come in to get services, think again. We're feeding people's soul, and I just think physical location is just as important as everything else we're talking about.
So then really understanding, looking at who is walking through the door, looking at your local area, really in terms of understanding your customer is part of this, development or part of this management of the centers. Would you say that's true, Dawn? I mean, you guys spend a lot of time understanding capacity, capabilities, and who can you serve well?
Absolutely. We have to do that. I mean, because the system is still a performance-driven system. We still have, people still need outcomes. We still got to get jobs for folks. And at the end of the day, that's what we do. So we definitely want to make sure that our sites, the flow that we have are responding to the needs of the folks that come in the door. And, you know, a few years ago when the economy, was doing really poorly, we saw a lot of folks at the high end of the income scale that were coming into our centers that had not traditionally come in. We had to modify a lot of things that we used to do because they had higher expectations. They needed a different level of service, so we had to modify the way that we triage those folks. And the same now that the economy is improving again, we're not seeing as many of those folks, and we're seeing folks a lot more on the lower side of the income range. And so now we've had to modify and be more responsive to them around education, around training, and around providing them opportunities to get into the workplace. I know a lot of folks see OJT, on-the-job training, as a job seeker service to help them get employed. But we view our on-the-job training as a service to the business community to save them some dollars on their HR and talent solutions, to give them an opportunity to not have to invest, that we can co-invest in a job seeker to get them to the point where they can decide whether they want to take on this person for the long term. So it's about changing that total expectation for businesses and job seekers when they come into our centers.
So it's really part of what I hear the both of you talking about is really this mindset of a customer-focused system. And the structure or what you do flows from who is that customer and what are they demanding? I mean, is that fair to say that's the evolution or that's the point where we are in the evolution of the industry?
Yes, I believe that is where we are in the evolution of the industry, and really being again, like you said, market responsive, which is our customers, our job seekers and our businesses, our primary customers, and for us, of course, our clients, that our boards that provide the funding for us to run their one-stop system. So there's definitely, I believe, again, a shift and a momentum that I hope will be carried out with the intent of the law, because it's kind of breathed new life into our system, and we're all excited because I didn't think I'd see the day before I retired a new legislation. We spent a number of years advocating for what we believe the changes that were needed in order for us to do an even more effective job. And now that we have it, we've got to deliver. And it is about being more customer-focused and not internally focused on some of the things that we were before, which was more around process and policy, and well, not process and policy, but more around the paperwork and the intake and the, you know, we get so bogged down in the minutia of the regulations, yep, that it stifles our innovation and it stifles,
yeah,
our focus on our customers.
You and I have chatted about this before, Felicia, so we'll make part of our conversations public, in that when we talk about data, it's not just the notion of compliance data, right? It's the notion of management data, going back to what Dawn was talking about as well, right? Understanding the customer and understanding who we're seeing. So it's a broadening,
yes,
of that definition around data that,
yes,
you have to take into consideration.
Right. It's about business results more than it is about compliance. And I always have try to design programs and services and strategies around, centered on the customer first. I always believe if you give high-end services and meet the needs of your customers, the outcomes will come. If you start with your outcomes and are so concerned and worried about that and trying to figure out how you get there first, and back into your customer experience, then you're not going to have as much success. And we're doing a disservice to our customers.
Go
ahead, Dawn.
I just wanted to piggyback on that, because I think that business, you know, that business process, the end of the day, what's the business result? We all need to be focused on, you know, what I love about this new legislation. Focus on the professional development and professionalism of the folks that work at the centers. We really got to keep focused on the people that deliver every day, keep them highly motivated, energized to deliver these services. I think a lot of times, you know, the folks on the day-to-day battle may feel left out of the solutions and making come up with answers. So I just want to make sure that as we move forward and you ask, what's a good board look like? A great board look like, they include those who are doing the work on the ground as a part of the solution. And get buy-in.
Oh, great, great point, Dawn. We're sadly running out of time. Dawn, some closing thoughts?
I just want to thank the National Association of Workforce Boards. Thank you, Ron. You know, leadership that you've provided over the years has been great. We're excited. I mean, we're really excited about implementing this Innovation and Opportunities Act. The forced movement and focus on continuous quality improvement is something that we've embraced. KRA Corporation embraced that, and we're looking forward to the future. We think it's bright for workforce.
And let me say, Dawn, I hope I'm looking forward to seeing you at the forum, and I hope other people are, because if you don't know Dawn Scott, you got to go say hello, because he's got one of the world's best smiles. He has got you do. You always light up my day when we run into each other. I love your enthusiasm and love that big smile. Felicia, closing thoughts?
Well, I just want to say that, you know, we have been on the defense for a very long time in our system and always defending the work that we do and the importance and significance of the work. And it's time to switch to the offense. We have our new legislation. It's very clear the intent of the law, and we just need to focus on carrying it out and being successful.
And if I want to ask you a question live, I understand you're going to be at the forum.
Yes, I am going to be at the forum. Don and I are definitely going to be there. I'm excited about coming and excited about my new role with KRA as the Director of Workforce Innovation. And I'll be doing a session as well. I'll be on a super session or impact session on Monday at 10 a.m. where we can continue the dialogue about services in the Career Center and what we can do to ensure that across the United States we have the best, most effective workforce system in the world.
Awesome. You will be joining us to talk more about focusing on the customer at Forum 2015. Felicia, I want to thank you. It's always good to be with you. I learn. Dawn, I want it to be noted, we're recording this before the, or I guess right at the beginning of March Madness. So I want it to be noted, I didn't ask you for your pick. so that, you know, later on we can see whether or not you were really smart about college basketball. Because you're smart about business, that we know.
Thank you.
I want to thank both of you again for being with us. Dawn, thanks also to KRA for your support. I know we appreciate it here, and that allows us at NAWB to try and provide more and better services to the workforce development system across the U.S. So to both of you, thank you. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you, Ron.
And you've been listening.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. You've been listening to Workforce Central Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by the National Association of Workforce Boards in Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Ron Painter. Thank you for having been with me today. Take care.